Cop Spotting, number 57.
Friday, May 27th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
We made it to Friday.
Yes, we did. We made it a week, and I think that means we can take the next month off.
Yay!
Maybe not, but certainly a good first trial run, practice, beta, alpha, I don't know what you want to call it here, of the new Pop Spotting. Now, it's Friday, and I decided that this was the episode where we're going to turn it over to our great, smart, intelligent listeners. It's Feedback Friday. It also means it's going to be a short episode because we haven't got much, but we do have some, so let's dip into the Pop Spotting inbox.
Carl B. writes, I was curious if you had seen 500 Days of Summer. This is one of my new all-time favorites, but I have found that not everyone agrees with me. I think that it is a great piece of writing from the opening line to the very last word of the screenplay. It has great performances from Zooey Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Also features one of the most heartbreaking scenes I have seen in a while, set to an amazing soundtrack featuring Regina Spector. Wondered if you had seen it and what you'd thought.
Now, I'm happy to say we did see 500 Days of Summer.
We saw it like a year and a half ago on DVD. So I remember a lot about it, but mostly I remember scenes and images. I don't think it's a movie I can quote off the top of my head. It's a love story. It stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel. Zoe's character is a little bit flaky. She's afraid of commitment. She's kind of quirky. And she falls in like first with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character. He's very serious. He's an architect. They're total opposites, but somehow they forge a friendship and then they fall in love. And the movie depicts their really short relationship, but lasts 500 days.
Right. But it's also told in a non-linear manner. It's like Pulp Fiction, but I guess without the death and drugs, but the storytelling technique is a key part of what this film is all about. And I like how you said that you don't remember, you don't know if you can quote anything, you don't know if you remember how it went exactly, you just remember scenes, because that's really what this movie is. It's a series of scenes out of sequence, but portraits of a relationship jumping from when it was really bad to really good to sort of bad, and no particular order to it. And it is sort of the way that you would remember a relationship.
And I do remember the scene that I believe Carl is referring to, and that was a really great scene, and especially in the context of what we see just before that. And I think the side by side of that particular scene really worked for me, and I really enjoyed it a lot, and that's what I remember the most about
it. I remember that now. I know what you're talking about too. That was very effectively done. And in fact, what I also remember about this film is they played around with it. It's not only is it not told in a linear fashion, but like there's a musical number, and there's they play tricks, there's like dream sequences and visions and stuff that's not real, but they just own it, they live it. So I definitely like that part. Now, the film does remind me of, say, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, again a movie about the relationship that you had, how you remember it, how you come to terms with it, you know, portraits and scenes and experiences that
I think
shared.
It would actually be a really good double feature for like when you break up with somebody.
I guess. And the Zooey Deschanel's character, I'm not sure I'd call her flaky, but you know, kind of aloof, very smart, very wry, very Daria, very I don't know who that other actress is. There's the film Stranger Than Fiction. Maggie Gyllenhaal, where again you've got a smart, distant woman who someone's trying to woo, and you know, there's an archetype here. It's even like Scott Pilgrim, the girl in Scott Pilgrim,
Ramona.
Yeah,
yes.
So you can sort of see how the story might be, how this character style or this type might be. But I thought it was really, really well done. And of course, there's a lot of music in the film, and that I remember liking quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed the music quite a bit. This is a movie I really want to see again. So I'm hoping they add it to Netflix streaming soon.
Yeah, it's not on streaming right now. I'm not sure why. The film came out in 2009, and I guess I don't even know where you get DVDs these days, but it's 500 Days of Summer, came out in 2009, rated PG-13, and we'd recommend it.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Carl for our first Pop Spotting email. Next up, we got a list, just a list from Lauren S., who wanted to share some of her favorite TV shows. So we'll just share our thoughts quickly, and who knows, we might cover any or each of these in greater detail in the future. So she wanted us to check out Battlestar Galactica, Weeds, Modern Family, and Parenthood. So, well, Battlestar Galactica, duh.
Yeah, we love Battlestar Galactica.
A fantastic series. If you haven't watched it, what was it, that line in The Office on NBC? Are you watching Battlestar Galactica?
No.
Then you're an idiot. I mean, come on. That's as good Bears as that show was.
Beats Battlestar Galactica.
What it was, a miniseries in 2003, ran for several years, I think 5 years, on the Sci-Fi Channel, a reboot of the cheesy, you know, 60s
An extreme
show.
Reboot.
But it was really, really well done. Edward James Olmos, Mary McDonald, Katie Sackhoff, Jamie Bamber, James Callis, Grace Park. Yes,
Boomer.
Grace Park as Boomer, and Trisha Helfer was the supermodel robot.
Six.
I guess number six. But a fantastic show. I mean, what was your favorite part? It's now all over. You can now go out and get the whole thing if you haven't yet, but what's wrong with you? What did you like the best about Battlestar?
I love that they took two male characters and made two very interesting, strong female characters.
Well, there's that, yes. I like that it was a show, it was a sci-fi show, it was a space opera. I mean, it was almost how Star Trek was initially conceived. I kind of liked the storytelling, the grittiness of it. This isn't these shiny hotel lobbies in space like you got with Star Trek The Next Generation. These were dirty, grimy, sweaty space people, you know, spacecraft out there. And just fantastic show about technology and relationships. You had the Cylons and the Colonials. I do need to ask you quickly as we move on to our next show, how did you like the end of Battlestar Galactica?
I'm a little bit mixed on the end. I understand some people didn't like it. I understand some people did like it, but I don't know. I would have written a different ending.
Well, you know, I would have written a different ending too, but the reaction to this, and this show ended a little bit before Lost ended.
About a year
But
and a
that
half,
experience
yeah.
sounded and felt very familiar, which is all of a sudden the end of the show tried to say much bigger things about the human experience, ending an unending cycle of human behavior, et cetera, and we're like, that's not, you know, we wanted to see a little bit of a different resolution for these characters. That was very familiar. Weeds, we did watch Weeds for a bit on Showtime.
We're in the middle of season 5 of Weeds. I'm mm-hmm. kind of, I don't know, I'm having a really hard time getting through this season. This is the whole Esteban season, and it's it's taken a really dark turn, and it's really kind of, I don't know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable watching it.
Well, Weeds is on Showtime, but we don't have, you know, who has cable like that? You just get the DVDs when it comes out. They just are going to start the 7th season of the show in June, so we're 2 seasons behind.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, when we first started watching Weeds, I was hooked immediately because it's great, fun, quirky characters and storytelling, and of course, because it's on premium cable, there's swearing, there's nudity, and there's all that good stuff that we like. Who's in that? Mary Louise Parker.
Plays Nancy Botwin, the pot-dealing mom.
And she's the protagonist, and she is hands down the anchor of the show.
She is, but the great thing about Nancy is she's kind of cluelessly going about her life while the people in her life are making things really interesting. Kevin Nealon plays her druggy neighbor, Doug. Elizabeth Perkins, oh, she's great.
She's fantastic. She's Celia.
Really wonderful.
Because she's hapless and, you know, she's the most unloved, she's the most lovable, unloved character I have ever seen on television.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Andy Miller plays Dean. But again, it's an ensemble show. It's about a woman who's trying to be a good mother, but, you know, has to do it by dealing drugs. It's a very simple structure to it. Every season something happens and they move to another city. So they were in one city, Agrestic, I think, and then they ended up in Mexico. From what I understand, the season that we just missed, they were in Canada. So it's just a globe-trotting show, but it's a lot of fun. I agree, though, that we did not feel the need to grab that next DVD disc as much as we did in the past for season 5, but we'll probably finish.
Oh, we will, absolutely.
Modern Family, I don't know anything about Modern Family.
We have not watched Modern Family at all. I have to say, I was a little off put by it because it looks to me a little bit like Arrested Development, and I really enjoyed Arrested Development.
Arrested Development was fantastic, fantastic, and yeah, that's exactly how it felt. They did it in the mockumentary style that's now all the rage. I mean, a lot of the shows that we like are mockumentaries, like the Office and such.
Yeah.
So there is that, but it's got some characters, some actors that we definitely know. Julie Bowen is in the series, and we remember her from Lost.
Yeah.
The lead is Ed O'Neill, Jesse Tyler. It's a Wednesday night show. I guess part of the reason why some people got into it is because 'cause it's to ABC Wednesday nights. But again, if you are a fan, tell us what we're missing with Modern Family. And if you want to talk about us missing something, the other show that Lauren mentioned was Parenthood. Have you watched Parenthood?
I know nothing about Parenthood either. I really enjoyed the movie that came out in 1989.
Right. Steve Martin, right?
Steve Martin and Keanu Reeves, your favorite actor.
Oh, yes. Let's not get into that right now. But this isn't the first time that movie was tried to turn into a series, though. They tried it before, so I guess this is the second try, but it's a fairly new series. It just started last year.
Right.
But again, this is the time of year where we're finding out how these shows are going, and it just got renewed for its third season. It's on Tuesday nights, but I can't tell you much about it. Craig Nelson, Bonnie Bedelia, Monica Potter, Lauren Graham, so some familiar names.
Yeah, and Peter Krause from Sports Night.
Ah, that's true. Sports Night, a show that doesn't sound like you'd love it, but you definitely love it. The ABC series.
Dirty Sexy Money.
Yeah.
I like Dirty Sexy Money a
lot. So Peter Krause, yeah, maybe we'll check out Parenthood. Maybe we shouldn't. You have to let us know. You need to steer this boat because Lord knows we're certainly not qualified. Thanks to Lauren and to Carl for being part of our Feedback Friday. Now, you all, everybody, are what keep us going. So we want to hear your thoughts about this or any other topic we cover here on Pop Spotting.
You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808 or drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net.
Of course, you can leave a comment on the blog for us and for everyone at popspotting.net. You can also connect with us on the social networks at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
We'll be back soon with more Pop Talk. Hopefully,
yes.
Maybe.
Sometime. And we want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song. Mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.